What is up, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal King Podcast Couples Edition, and this is episode number 232. All right, so today we hop into more of the marriage and the relationship side. We talk a little bit more about what is kind of the pinnacle, or what is at the top of the pyramid when it comes to happiness, fulfillment, and I am a big believer that it is marriage. One of the things I always tell my kids over and over and over again is the most important decision you will make in your life is who you marry. And once you make that important decision, how do you actually make sure that that relationship stays great? Jess and I have been together for, about 22 years now, married for like 17 of them. And so this isn't us talking after a year or two of marriage. We've literally spent more than half of our lives together at this point. So we dive into that. You'll get to hear about her being the stuck up cat. You'll know what the stuck up cat is here in a little bit. So there you go as well. You got to listen though to the very end because that's when it really comes out. So anyways, hope you guys enjoy this one. Also, you know, when it comes to the couples podcast and having an awesome marriage, some people think that having a business together might kill the marriage, but it actually, hey, we do all right with it. We have our own way of doing business, each individually, but collectively, we do pretty well together. And because of all of that, you got to come and see the fruits of that, right? Which is Crosso Meats. You got to go to crossomeats.com, get yourself some awesome meat, get yourself some soaps, some tallow, you know, that you can cook with, get away from those nasty seed oils. All the good stuff is there at crossomeats.com. Also working on some other cool things that will launch real soon. So there you go. Go to crossomeats.com. All right, everybody, let's get started.
So the question is this: how do we live the best life that we can with the limited amount of time that we get to be here? Is it by accumulating success and fame and fortune and everything else that society tells us that we need in order to be fulfilled? Or is it much more simple than that? My name is Derek Wilson. I'm the host of the Primal King Podcast, and we're going to be answering this as well as many other questions as we move forward.
What is up, everybody, and welcome back to another couples edition of the Primal King Podcast.
Here we go.
Here we go. All right. So, you know, we were kind of racking our brains and just kind of thinking, you know, like, what is it that we really want to talk about today? You know, because on one hand, there's so much stuff you can talk about. On the other hand, it's like we also want to hopefully provide value. Mm-hmm. So there is that whole side of it. So one of the things that comes up, I think, when you live rural or whether you live in a city or anything else is kind of like, how do you as a couple keep the main thing the main thing? Mm-hmm. There's so many distractions out there. Obviously, social media is one. There's town drama, there's friendship drama, there's
school drama, you know, mom pickup line drama, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And really it kind of never ends. And it seems like the older you get, just the more stuff comes at you because now you're not just worried about yourself. You're worried about your kids, obviously your spouse, your community. And so like maybe when you're younger, life is pretty simple, even though, you know, if you have a teenager, you know, this life is terrible all the time.
I was going to say teen drama.
but really, like when you're younger, you're only really worried about yourself. So most of your problems kind of circle right around you. Whereas obviously when you have a business, now you have problems that can arise at any minute. You have kids and who knows what drama they're going through. And you know, you live in, again, whether it's a small town, everybody knows in a small town what everybody else is doing, and there's drama along with that, and there's all this different stuff. So I'll start off asking you the question.
Okay.
Which
as
is,
always.
Yes, as always. Which is, how do you kind of make the main thing the main thing? Because obviously we have our, you know, whether it's family goals, we have our business goals, you just have overall kind of life goals, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, how do you, in the face of all this stuff coming at you, like, how do you continue to try to keep the main thing
within our family, or are you and I, or what do you like? I mean, that's a lot of things.
Let's start with relationship first. Like,
okay.
Because again, like a lot of you maybe who are out there married, like you understand that it's very easy to let maybe your marriage become, you know, level five, right? Or secondary, right? Because again, when you have kids and it's like immediate, you have maybe business and something happens and that's immediate and everything maybe becomes immediate, except for you're neglecting your spouse. You're neglecting, you know, kind of the people closest to you. So what do you do personally to keep the main thing the main thing?
Well, I think it's one that it's just a constant, it has to be a constant is the right word. And an intentional decision, right? Like, there are times where even, I mean, you and I, we've kind of talked a little bit, and maybe you guys have seen it on our stories, where it's like, we'll go get coffee in the morning, or we'll just go like run an errand together or things like that, because maybe we don't have a lot of time, just you and I. And so there was even times like last week where it was like, okay, well, really I should, you know, get up to the house and get this done and start getting ready for the day. And I had a bunch of things to do, but it was also like, okay, or I can choose to intentionally take half an hour and like go with you and have our own conversations. And so I think from that standpoint, that's kind of where it just, it has to be like a conscious decision that like, this is going to be a focus and we're going to make a point to do it. It's the same thing as like when we've talked about, you know, date nights and things like that before, which we have not done in a long time. But even that, it's like, no, like it's so easy, just like you said, with schedules and sports schedules and just things to do, and also just wanting to relax, right? Like there's a lot of evenings where it's just like, I don't maybe want to go anywhere. I just want to, you know, relax and put my pajamas on and hang out. And, but it's also like, okay, but is this time where we could go either grab dinner or grab, you know, just go on a walk together, or go do something. So being intentional and just having that, making that a conscious decision, I think from a relationship standpoint.
Well, and I think that you have, there's like, there's always going to be things that come up, right? And I think that one of the things that almost everybody struggles with to a certain degree is how do you actually prioritize those mm-hmm. things? Because, you know, like, for example, like we talked about, we haven't done a date night for a long time.
Yep.
We took the kids to the movie premiere this weekend, which was, again, it wasn't a date night, but it was fun. Hey, we all went out.
We all went and got dressed up.
But, you know, one of the things
that would be more family focused than the like relationship. And we could have just gone, just you and I, and that was a conversation we had, but it was also like, okay, but how cool is it that like our kids are not going to be able to experience this very many times, you know, mm-hmm. let's take them and do that together.
Do a movie premiere. Yeah. Like famous people. but no, it was fun. But I think that what happens though in life is that your priorities change depending on kind of where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is obviously we went through like, you guys are probably sick of hearing about it, not trying to harp on it, but it's like we went through 75 hard and then phase one. So it's basically like 105 days straight of like very restrictive eating or, mm-hmm. you know, just certain things you can or can't do while you're on that program. And I know for me, sometimes it's like when I do a date night, I want to go out, eat what I want to eat, you know, if that's a cheat meal or whatever, maybe have a couple of beers and kind of do that. And so it seemed like we had like the first 105 days of this year kind of prioritized around that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's also okay, because what can also happen is that if you're not building yourself into the best version of yourself, it becomes very hard to have a connection with your spouse. It becomes very hard to be the best version of yourself, which means you're not showing up.
Well, to give to anybody else.
Yeah. And so I think that you also have to have some grace and kind of knowing like, okay, maybe in this phase or this season of my life, if you want to call it that, like we're kind of focusing on this. And one of the cool things though, is that even though we weren't doing date nights together, like we could connect over that program.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, we worked out every single day together, you know?
I mean, we've done what, like 108 days now straight of working out together.
Yep.
And so it's like, yeah, we're not out at the, you know, the restaurant or whatever doing that, but we're still working out together. We're still getting coffee together. We're still doing all of those things to connect.
Yep.
So,
well, and I think even to take that from outside of us, right? Like there was a season this last year, and many of you have heard about it, like when we were hardcore basketball, like the one time, and I know I think we've even talked about it on here, we had five games in 7 days, and all of them were traveling. And I mean, it was nuts, right? We had Kennedy in varsity basketball. Riley was in junior high basketball, like just all the things. So even that too, that was a season where it was like, hey, truly like our night out is eating at the concession stand at the basketball game. But again, that was important for us and our family to all be there together, to go and support whatever kid was playing. Like that was a focus, but I do. And to say, so I guess what I'm saying to sit a second, what you were saying is give yourself that grace. But I also think that's so easy where couples do that all the time and they never make time for themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think it's a slippery slope, but also be gracious.
Well, and I think understanding again, like, you know, understanding where you're at in a relationship too, is I think most of us are smart enough to know, like, are we drifting apart?
Yeah.
Are we, you know, are we not drifting apart? And then being able to correct that and kind of be like, okay, because I think that sometimes we don't look at, you know, I think sometimes for us as human beings, it's very easy for us to get stuck in the right now.
Mm-hmm.
And when you zoom out and it's like, okay, if everything else in my life that's going on, what would impact that the most? Well, I feel like for me, if our marriage went into a really bad place and ultimately, let's say we got a divorce, right? That would impact our business. That would impact our kids. That would impact my life. And it's hard to say that any other one of these things that you can kind of compartmentalize would affect all of those things. Right. So it's like, we could lose our business and still have a good marriage, a good family. Would it create some hardship? Of course, maybe like from a money standpoint, like you can lose a job and still have a great marriage. Right. But a lot of times, at least what I've been able to see is that so often when your marriage goes down the tubes, like that's going to affect everything because that's kind of like at the top of the pyramid, right? Like you have your marriage, like that's your person, that's your one person you're with. And when that goes haywire, then everything else below that, it's a lot easier.
100%.
It seems like to go that way.
Yeah.
So that's where when you are in these seasons and when we're in basketball or when we're doing these things and we're not having a date night, like I do feel like you still have to find ways to connect. And that might be connecting in a gym, right? Like that might be connecting on the drive to the gym.
Yep.
Or on the drive home from the gym.
Well, and even for us, and again, not everyone's going to be doing 75 hard, but it's like there was a lot of games where, I mean, during that season, we still had to go get outdoor workouts in and things like that. And so we would be like, you know, between games or especially like during the state basketball, you know, it's like, okay, well, we got a game this time. So when are we going to walk? So hey, when I would just go walk by ourselves and have conversation. And so, yeah, you definitely making that a priority, even when it is harder.
Well, and I think too, like, kind of coming back to, and I know that this has been a theme because it's something that I truly do believe in, is that I think that we have been led to believe that, you know, marriage, family, all of that stuff is okay. But what you really want is you really want to be rich. And what you really want is you really want to have like a nice house and a nice car and nice stuff.
Yeah.
Now, I think that, you know, if your marriage is on point and all of those things come, you will be happier. Like, I think if you have the home of your dreams, the car of your dreams, those things can at least temporarily make you happier.
Yeah.
But ultimately, like if your relationship, and I do come back to like, I'm old school in the sense to where I believe that God intended a man and a woman to be together. And I believe that God, like if you were to look at how God said, you know, it's almost like if you're putting together like a model, right? Like a car or something, you have instructions. Right. Yeah. And it's like, hey, if you want this model or
to look,
you
know, like it's this. Yeah.
Like for me, I hate instructions. Right. But
it's really bad. At
yeah. Really bad. Really at bad. Like we got these shelves in our garage and I just want to like go start building. I want to do it on my own. But it's like, no, there's actually an instruction manual that tells you if you build it this way and you start with this foundation,
it'll be easier.
Then it will be easier.
Come out right.
Yeah. And I do believe that God did that. Like that's essentially what the Bible is. Right. It's, it's an instruction manual for how we live our life.
Yes.
And if God says that optimally our life is to be a man and a woman and to go forth and multiply, right? Be fruitful. Then that is something that I'm going to have a really hard time disagreeing with. But society, when they tell you, actually, wait, don't have kids until you're 40, go build your corporate career. Yeah. Go have fun. Go live it up. You know,
like selfish mindset.
Yeah. And most of the people who do that are not truly happy.
Yep.
Because they've got away from making,
or they're continually lacking. They might be happy, but they're still like, oh, someday I want to get married. And like, yeah, that's typically their long-term.
I mean, there's never an absolute, right? It doesn't mean that there's not people who are older that aren't happy as hell. Right. Like I'm sure there are, but the majority of people, if you look at, I mean, there's all the different data. Yeah. You can look at the people who are most likely to be on antidepressants and anxiety medications. And they're like older single women that don't have kids, right? We talked about this, I think, even a little bit last week. But if you can make the main thing with your relationship and your marriage, if you can get that one thing locked down, I believe that everything else under that, it's like the food pyramid, right? Like everything else is just filler, right? The business, as important as it needs to be, like you have to start
added,
with marriage.
And like an additive, like it's just an added perk.
Like there's a lot of people.
Like we were totally happy when we didn't have our business as well. And like we were both working, we were doing our thing. Like that was definitely like said, it's an added
and think
cherry on top.
Literally how many hundreds or even thousands of years that people were dirt poor, right? And how many people live dirt poor right now.
Yep.
But when they have a mate, you know, a spouse, whatever, they have kids, like they're happy as can be. In fact, they're probably happier than most of us.
Yeah.
Right. Like there's a lot of different studies I've seen out there too, that are like, these people have nothing yet. They're so happy. Why is that? It's like, well,
content and,
because they know that having, you know, a family and being able to procreate and kind of raise their kids, like that's what gives people joy and fulfillment.
Yep.
So in this crazy world, then what do you think would be one of the main things that people should do? And again, like this is just coming from us, right? Like, we're not here to be Dr. Phil for you or anything else. It's more like in those times, because we do, like, we have those kind of roller coaster moments where it's like, we're just not connecting. We're not, you know, for whatever reason, we're not on the same page. And when you've been together as long as we have, what, now 22 years ish, married for what, 17? I don't even know. 18, but when you've been
we're really bad.
When you've been together as long as we have, it's over half of our lives at this point. Yep. Like, you have those downs, you have the ups. For sure. Like, oh, everything's connected. We're going to be happily married forever. And then, like, a week later, it's like, we just have, like, nothing in common, right? Like, back and forth. So what do you feel like is something that you can do to kind of get that main thing back? Mm-hmm. And I don't know, like, reconnect, recharge, however you want to term it.
Well, I think, like we said, I think the most important thing is just making time to do things together, like enjoy each other. And as nerdy as it is, you know, basically date your spouse. Like, think about, you know, when you're first getting to know each other, you did things and you went and you made a point to, like, you know, again, before you were married, or, you know, it's like, hey, do you want to go do this with me? Do you want to do that with me? Like, you made time to do things together, and typically one-on-one. Sometimes there were group things, but again, because you enjoyed each other, it was, you know, let's go to a movie, let's go bowling, let's go for a hike, let's go, like, do things together. So you like each other, right? I mean, because it's really easy, just like Derek said, to fall into that, especially with kids and all the things, and everybody has stuff in their life, to become just roommates, and you're there and you might love that person, but you literally are just, like, doing life beside them. You're not, like, connecting. Maybe that's, you know, again, whether it's intimately, spiritually, like, emotionally, whatever, you're just, like, here and doing life, and just every day happens the same. We've all been on that wheel before. So making the point to actually, you know, do things. But I think along with that, it's also being able to have, like, the clear communication and talking through those struggles sometimes, and being able to say, like, I really, like, I feel like we haven't been hanging out, or I feel like, you know, I haven't gotten to, like, see you or spend time with you, or I feel like you're just kind of distant, or, like, I can feel, and I don't know, like, with others, but with you and I, like, we can always tell when somebody's either, like, stressed out or, like, edgy, I guess you'd call it. And so kind of talking through that, but also I think from an individual standpoint, is usually when that's happening with us, is one of us is going through something, and, you know, and maybe that's stress of, you know, I know you've had various times where it's like stress about ranch stuff and business stuff and things are going on and you're just like, you know, everything's up in the air. We're waiting on all these big decisions or whatever it might be. So something like typically stress related is kind of taking over your mind. You know, it's taking over everything you're thinking about. And even if you're, you know, if you're having any downtime, you're, at least for me, that's when a lot of times I'm feeling like, well, I need to be doing something. I have to, like, fix this, or I need to, you know, figure out what to do. Or, like, you're in this kind of spiral that a lot of times can be really just distracting from the main thing. And I guess what I mean, say all that to encourage, is that if you know that, that's honestly probably the most important time that you do need to go and take that time and to go do something. And I know we were talking about just a little bit earlier that it's been a really nice, you know, winter is really hard for Derek. He's not too well.
I like sun.
Living in a canyon and having dreary winters. And I think for all of us too, right? Like, winters can sometimes just be hard. It's not beautiful and nice out to go and enjoy and do all the things that we love to do with, like, outdoorsy people. So for us, really this year, and a lot of times during, like, early winter, January, February, it can be really not always bad, but just, like, again, like, depressing, discouraging, like, it's crappy out, like, we have all this to do, but it's so, you know, maybe it's weather related that we can't really get outside and do certain things we need to do. And it just kind of gets us in a bad funk. And this year, we both kind of came out of it truly after basketball season. So in March, it was kind of this light bulb where we were like, and I think you were the one that said, like, this has actually been, like, a really good winter. Like, you know, he's like, we've had things going on. And I know for some we'll be like, oh my gosh, you guys are so crazy busy, it's psycho. But for us, it was like, we weren't just coming home every single night, sitting in the dark house, like, watching stupid TV. It was like, maybe we did that here and there, but we had games to go to and we had things we were doing things with. And we're super blessed with, like, the people that other parents and community members that we go to basketball games with. A lot of times we were riding with good friends of ours, other parents, to the games. And, like, it was fun. It was, like, exciting for us. Like, we were just as excited for a game day as Kennedy was, you know? But then even after that, then we moved into, Kennedy played club volleyball. And so it was like on the weekends, we were going down to Boise and watching volleyball games, which can get very long. There's lots of games all in one day. But at the same time, we were like hanging out with your parents and we would be able to go again. That's part of the reason we were already down there this weekend for the premiere. So we were able to, or for the volleyball games, we went to the premiere. We've gone and done different activities with the kids because we're already in Boise, where normally we'd have just been here, probably feeling the weight of that we have all these projects we have to get done. So we can't go do anything fun. We just need to stay here and work on all this stuff. And instead we like made this, or I guess the decision was made for us, or however you want to look at it. Like we were like, well, we have to go, like we have volleyball games to go to. And it was a great just balance of getting us away from here enough that you were able to have those breaks. Like I said, we went to, took Riley out for a nice dinner for his birthday, or like different things that we would have just done stuff right here in town, which probably would have meant we just had like some kids come over and spend the night and we wouldn't have done anything. So anyways, yeah, it was just a good balance that actually kind of really made a big difference for us, where it was kind of an eye opener of like, okay, like we need to do this. Like this is healthy for us.
Yeah. Well, it was just nice getting away, because it is like when you have animals that need to be fed and you have so many projects that need to be done all the time, it can be really hard to just be like, yeah, let's just go have fun for the weekend.
Yeah, to knowingly walk away and be like, yeah, let's just, you know, screw responsibility. Yeah. We're going to go down and just hang out for the weekend.
So it did force us, which was awesome. So now here's one of the things though, because I know, you know, just when you hear people talk about marriage, or you talk about their wives maybe, and you can speak of it more from the women's side of it. But what's always so fascinating is it can be very hard in a relationship as well to actually be fully transparent with maybe what your needs are.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, I think it's very easy to go to your buddies and be like, he's not doing this, she's not doing that, he's doing this, he's doing that. Right. And be like 100% honest with them. But then like when you come to the relationship side of it,
you don't,
like maybe that communication breaks down, or you maybe only say half of it, right? Like, I know I've been guilty of this as well, to where it's like, what's going on? It's like, well, this, but it's actually like this, this, and this, right? Like, or whatever. Like, we always have these things going on in our heads that are maybe holding us back from fully, you know, having that great relationship with your spouse.
Yeah.
So like, why do you think it is that it would be so much easier? Is it because like so many people are just passive aggressive and don't want to deal with it head on, and it's easier to skirt around it? Do you think it's just uncomfortable maybe? Because like, especially when it comes to like taboo topics, right? Like a sex life or something like that.
Yeah.
Right. Like, it might be really, really hard to talk to your spouse about, you know, like topics around sex. And I think it's because so many people are grown up to where you don't really talk about that. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, even getting away from sex, like some people have a really hard time talking about finances. Right. Maybe they were raised in a family that just never talked about money. Right. Like, maybe mom and dad did okay, and money just wasn't a topic. And so then when you grow up, it's like really uncomfortable to talk about, hey, like, why aren't we making any more money? Why are we broke? Why, you know, why aren't we able to buy this or buy that? Right. Mm-hmm. And so like, why do you think it is that it can be so hard when you get into some of these taboo topics that really are kind of like the engine behind it? Right. Like, I don't know anybody who has a great marriage that like doesn't have sex regularly, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know anybody who has a great marriage that can't openly talk about finances.
Yeah.
So like, why do you think it can be so hard that the person that you're the closest with, that knows you better than literally anybody else, that it's actually sometimes hard to have those open, honest conversations about what's really, really going on deep down inside?
Well, I think, I mean, from conversations I've had or known as it is, it's just that vulnerability part of it. And I think there's that little bit of, for me, what I think of is it's like, you want your spouse to think that you've maybe not got it all together, isn't the right word, but like you know, have like, are able to, are everything they would imagine, right? Like, you want them to be that 100%, like, you know, you obviously you don't want your spouse to think of all the things that you don't do right, or you don't do well, or whichever. So you don't maybe want to portray the things or talk about the things that maybe even if it's a concern in your mind that maybe you think you aren't like completing or performing or fulfilling at their like top level of what they want. But to bring that up and have that conversation, I think it's just that vulnerability of, you know, being willing to ask literally like, are there things about me you don't like? Like, you're married to me and like, hopefully you still want to be married to me, but please tell me all the things you don't like about me.
But isn't like, it that, funny? Like, you know, if you were in a job, right. And I'm not saying a marriage is a job, right. Even though sometimes it feels that way because you're definitely the boss. It seems like,
yeah. Right?
Yeah. But like, if you were in a job or if you were in like a mastermind in a business, you would be like, give me everything. Give me all your feedback.
Yep.
Right. Like,
yep.
I want to be a better business owner. So hit me hard with the truth. But yet, like, if your spouse comes to you and hits you hard with the truth, you're like, screw you.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
And I think it is like, and granted, like, there are definitely a lot of people that if a boss comes to you and says, hey, like, we need you to improve here and here and here,
they
like
freak out.
Yeah. You might freak out, but that is part of, I think, why we've had a, what I would consider a pretty good solid marriage is that like, we do at least have those conversations, not to say we always agree on everything, mm-hmm. not to say that it always is like solved immediately.
Yeah.
But I do also think that for the most part we can, but what I've witnessed is that, you know, so many times you're hanging out with the guys, you're hanging out, you know, with everybody. And it's like, you know, my wife does this and she's terrible at that or whatever. And it's like, well, have you ever actually talked to her about that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, kind of, but yeah, I mean, it just
she
ends
wouldn't
up
understand
in a fight.
Yeah.
Just ends up in a fight, you know? So no, I stopped telling her that. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you there's some of you listening to this mm-hmm. that have said or thought that exact same thing because I have too at
yep.
certain points.
Yep.
It's like, I just don't want to bring it up. I don't want to be another fight. Like, I don't want to fight about it. So,
mm-hmm. Well, again, because the goal is you want it to all be good.
Yeah.
And that's why you don't want to bring it up the hard stuff.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think that's where that overarching that like you have to have those hard conversations to continue to have it good.
Yeah. Well, and think about, again, like just anything in life. Anything in life typically requires like some type of hardship, strife, conflict mm-hmm. in order for you to grow from it.
Yep.
So it's like, why would we expect anything different in a marriage? Like if we're in a marriage and everything is smooth sailing 100% of the time,
mm-hmm.
like somebody's getting cheated on, right? Like something's going on. Like if there's literally no conflict ever in your marriage, like I've just never heard of that, I guess. Maybe you've got the unicorn situation, but there's always going to be some type of hardship. There's always going to be conflict. Mm-hmm. Like you're literally with another human being all the time who sees the world completely different. For the most, in a lot of ways.
Well, and I think, and that's one that we've talked about it before, but it's like knowing your love languages as well is like such a huge, and that's a conversation that you and I have had many times. We have very like not opposite, but we do not have similar love languages. And so, you know, again, when you look at those, and if you haven't read or done the online test stuff about love languages, you need to do it. They have them for kids as well. Like you should go do that. But it's things where it's like, my love language is more of like acts of service. So if people like do things for me, then I feel like, oh, they've like forethought enough that like they care about me enough or love me enough that they would think of this to like, well, how can I help you in that situation? Where Derek is like, he doesn't care about that at all. Like, so then because that's my love language, I try to do that to him. Like I try to like, look, I did this for you and I did that and did that. And not that he's not thankful, but he's like, great. Like, whatever. Like it doesn't like fill him up in the same way it does for me. And so
I would think yours is more words of affirmation.
I think it's both. I'm very close of both of those.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's just so then Derek's is like physical touch. And so for him, it's like, he doesn't care if anything happens as long as other things happen.
You're like one of those cats that's just like, don't touch me. You know what I mean? It's like the cat that walks around in the house.
Whatever.
And it's like, I'm good at a distance. Don't pet me. Don't come near me. Right. Or I will attack you. Right.
Isn't that about it? Not true.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. But again, learning though, that like, again, cause there was a time in our life, I would say more early marriage where I'd be like doing all these things. And again, I'm feeling like I'm thinking of you all day long. I'm doing this for you. I'm doing that for you. I'm like made a point to go over here and pick that up for you. I did this, like all this stuff. And like, you weren't feeling any love in that regard. I mean, again, not saying you didn't like appreciate the things, but it wasn't filling you up in that way. And then I'm like, I'm just like exasperating myself doing all this stuff for you. And so having to kind of learn what those languages are and what people talk.
Well, I think it's an eye opener.
And I think it makes it also to take one more thing is it makes it not personal. So then when you can be able to kind of step away and say, this is how I know, like, this is my love language and this is how I feel love. It separates it from being an emotional, like you did this to me or I did that for you and you didn't care. it's just like, hey, we're talking like two different languages. Let's like learn about those and how.
Well, and I think love languages are important just in terms of like, and you should know, you know, if you've been in a relationship for a few years, like you should know kind of what your spouse cares about.
If you're having conversations.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're having conversations, but still it's like, it's pretty easy to see, like, if I do this, it makes it better. Right. Like, and I think sometimes I remember having Paul and Stacey Martino on who have relationship development and they don't really like, they don't really like the whole love language stuff because they feel like it basically puts you in a box as a servant, right? Like if I could paraphrase them, which means like if Jess is, let's say, an acts of service, then now all of a sudden what I have to change everything about the way that I feel loved because that's what she wants to do. Like, you know, it can also cause like some strife and some problems there. Now, having said that though, I do think it's important to understand like, how does your spouse receive love or attention or care? Because that is something to where if you love someone, obviously you want to do your best to try to make them happy and try to do the things that allow them to be happy in a relationship.
Yeah.
And so like, I think though, you have to kind of almost like split the difference a little bit just on like, okay, I know that she's an acts of service. I know that I'm physical touch. Like, how do we make this thing work?
Yeah.
Right. Because that doesn't mean that I can just go around and be her slave now. Right. And that doesn't mean that she can just like, whatever, we'll just keep it PG, but you know what I mean? Like there has to be that balance in it. Yep. And there also has to be a little bit of grace understanding that, hey, they see love a little bit different than I do.
Yep.
And if we still want to make like, if marriage is again, the top of the pyramid, like how do we work these things out? And I think the only way you really work them out is through communication.
Yep.
Right. Like I do. And it's having, again, those hard conversations. It's having the conversations where it's like, you know, maybe I don't feel love because you haven't done this, this, and this. And they're like, well, I don't feel love because you haven't done that, that, and that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, at least we know where we're at. Mm-hmm. But if you take the complete passive aggressive approach where it's like, no, I'm good. And then all of a sudden it's like,
you're not good.
Well, yeah. Like how many times do you hear of these stories of like, you know, so-and-so was like, had such a good marriage and then
out of the blue.
And then, you know, John just went off and cheated on her. Right. Like, why would he do that? And it's like, yeah, you know, we see the outside looking in, like there's probably a reason why John or Steve or Joe or whatever went and did that. Right. Or, you know, why Betty,
it's usually more to the story,
you know, oh, I can't believe they're getting a divorce. Betty just up and all of a sudden told him that she wanted a divorce, like out of the blue, caught him completely off guard. And it's like, really? No, like usually it's, you're probably not like communicating right. Like, and there's a ton of reasons why people get divorced and a lot of people get divorced. Right. And, but typically like if you've made your marriage the main thing and you have an open line of communication, I really do feel like your odds of getting a divorce are going to go like extremely low. Not saying there's still no chance, but
what I would say is with that though, is you have to, I think what this comes back to is you have to have the time to have those conversations.
Yeah.
So again, if you're constantly with the kids, if you're constantly, you know, not having any one-on-one time, you're working or you're doing this or whatever it might be, like, when do you think you're going to have that conversation?
Well, think about just like what we're able to talk about on, 10-minute coffee run to town and a 10-minute coffee run home.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's 20 minutes, right? Yeah. But again, like if we didn't do that, it's like we've scheduled our morning in a way that allows us to do it, right? Like we get up, we both do our reading or whatever, we go work out, and then we always have a little window before like I start with meetings and stuff to where it's like we usually have 30 minutes to be able to run in and grab coffee. But like today we didn't do that because we slept in a little bit later, honestly, than what we normally do. But we kind of missed that window. But that's okay. Like we do it almost every other day.
Yeah.
But now if tomorrow we did that and then the next day we did that, now all of a sudden you and I, maybe because of the fact that we have kids and we have businesses and we have jobs and all this different stuff going on.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden it's been 5, 7, 10 days that we haven't connected. And now like that's when you get into the blowups, right? Yeah. Because we haven't had a chance to talk.
Also, they're like, oh, well, they're kind of acting weird or they're kind of standoffish, or I can tell they're upset with about something, but like, we're on to the next thing. We have to run here, go there. The kids are with us. Or like, we don't have like, and so again, even something that might have nothing to do with you or might just be like, hey, we need to have a quick conversation. Like I was really offended when you said da 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 or whatever, like that might not have happened. And as you know, with so many things, as it sits and meddles,
well,
6 days later, it's like a whole,
it's just
thing.
Like a sliver, right? Exactly. Like it just sits there and festers until it's infected and it's a big problem. And that's the same thing that happens. And, you know, again, like if you don't have that open communication line with your spouse, all of a sudden something that you did a week ago is just like festering and building and pissing me off more and more and more. until boom, it just, there's the explosion.
Yep.
And that's never a good thing.
Well, and I think too, the other thing is I would just say is, again, as we've longer in our relationship, is there's things that we just know that we like don't do well together.
Like what?
Like put the shelves together. The shelves that he was talking about. Like yeah. I am the instruction follower. And I like, so I knew like, I was like, he's doing this by himself. I'm not even going to watch. It'll be fine. When he gets done, it'll be done.
The instructions.
Maybe you did, but I guess I'm just saying, even when you were building your workbench, like different things, it was like I have a different way of doing things than he does. And I know that if we try to do certain things like that together, it's not going to be good. Like I'm going to be annoyed. He's going to be pissed at me. So instead it's like, we're not going to do them. Like I went and cleaned out the shop. He worked on his workbench. Like it was fine.
What's so funny is that we work really, really well in certain capacities and absolute oil and water in others.
Yeah.
Like when it comes to like building something, I will just tell her, just go away.
Just go away.
That's what I told her the other day. Cause she'll come in and she'll be like, so, you know, what about this? And what about that? And I'll just be like, just go away. You just need to leave. Come back when it's done.
I have lots of other ideas. But
hold on though. Like, what if you didn't? Nope. Just go. Just go on.
I guess what I'm saying is we know that. Yeah, like we know that. We've had enough fights that we know that. And it's easier to just be like,
this goes back to
something we do together.
Like one of my favorite stories.
Oh gosh.
It was all the way back when we were painting our first house.
This is the best story.
And so we're painting. And Jess is a very
not as dumb as makes the sound.
Jess is a very kind of like sloppy painter.
And, which is great. Like I never have to paint. It's wonderful.
And
be
when I was
all notes, be a really bad painter, then you never have to paint.
When I was like 19 to 21, 22, I worked for a guy doing construction that we did all kinds of stuff. We did, you know, remodel, mostly like remodels, but kind of everything in there, trim, like painting, sheetrock, did all of it. And this guy was like one of the most anal painters you would ever know, because when he was like my age, you know, 20 years previous, 15 years previous, whatever, he worked for a painter, and that's kind of like how he actually got to start in the construction world was painting. And so like this dude was ridiculously meticulous and anal when it came to painting. And so whenever it came time for us to paint anything, it was always like, you got to hold your brush this way. You got to do it that way. And just very, very meticulous. So fast forward to us painting when we bought our new house, newly married, and we didn't even have any like furniture in the house yet. And we're painting and Jess is just not doing a good job. And was just really, really bothering me. And she just wanted to talk and talk and talk. And I'm just like trying to get the painting done. And so finally, like I'm just going to go start in the bedroom and start painting. Well, she comes in there and like, it was like, again, we're newly married. It's like my polite way of being like, I need to go away from you right now.
I just need to be with you.
And she comes in there and starts painting in there. And I'm like, but you're painting in the living room, you know? And I didn't say that. And she's like, starts talking to me and I'm getting like kind of crabby, just short. And she's like, well, you know, like what's wrong or something. It's like, I just need some alone time. And she's like, well, with me. And I'm like, no, like alone time, like by myself.
Talking about is you're like, yeah, like it's going to be so nice because we'll be able to have like alone time. And like, but it was like almost maybe even moving into our house or I don't remember. But when he said alone time, I thought it was like him and I. So I'm like, yeah, like with me.
And she's like, with me. And I'm like, no,
by
like,
myself.
You need to go. You need to leave the room, go out, like leave me alone.
Well, I always tell people I'm like the most independent, dependent person.
Oh, dependent.
Because I want to do things my way. I want to do them how I want to do them, but I want somebody to do it with me because I don't want to be by myself.
So basically it just means you just want somebody there to boss around.
I don't even care that I boss around. They can just be there and hang out with me.
No, it's like, this is the way we always, whatever. Me and the kids always joke. There's the right way. And then there's mom's way.
Well, yeah. Cause right? It's typically the same thing.
It's typically not the same. It might be the same result, but it's never the same journey to get there.
Gosh.
But no, like that is something though, that we've kind of learned about each other. Like her brain works in a way that kind of drives me crazy when we do that. And I know that me kind of being reckless, like I'm this way in everything. Like in our business, she would tell you the same thing.
Yeah.
I'll like look at it and be like, let's just do it. And she'll be like, but how? And it's like, do it. Like, I'm just going to dive into it. I'm not going to read the instructions. I'll get it done.
I'll figure it out. Yeah. That's what he always says. I'll figure it out.
And it might take me 3 times longer because I'm going to be stubborn and I'm going to figure it out, but I will. And she's like, let's sit down.
My
and
stable like, brain can't you know, handle
let's,
that. Yeah.
Let's we get, our list, of, let's get our list
step
of
one. You
know, yeah. Let's make a plan to make a plan. And then after we've made the plan, we'll make another plan. And so, yeah,
my
brain just can't handle that. But then when she sees me just dive into something,
I'm like, holy shit, like, what are we doing? Time out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we do though, but that is something. And that's something too, to where when you're new in a marriage, like maybe you're listening to this, you've been married for 2 years, right? You've been together for 4 years, whatever it is, like be okay with that. Yep. Because I feel like the first few years of us really kind of figuring out how we operated together were challenging at times.
Yeah.
But now it is. It's as simple as like, just go away. And yeah, she's like, okay.
Well, I think too, like being okay to like laugh about it. Like everybody's personalities are different. Like it's okay. And just because that like we might not be able to build a bench together doesn't mean that our marriage is doomed. Like give yourself some grace. It's okay to be like, I don't want to work on this project together. We don't work well when this happens. Like, great. Okay. Move on. Like, I think especially people younger, newer in relationships, not younger, but like newer in relationships get all like offended. Like, oh my gosh, like he didn't want to work with me. And he said it was bad.
A year into our relationship, you would have been probably crying.
Probably.
He doesn't love me anymore. Yeah. He doesn't want to spend time with me. And it's like,
exactly.
No, I just literally, I don't want to hate you by the time we're done with this. So just go away.
So
there you go. I guess we need to start wrapping this up, but hopefully, especially like if maybe you're newly married or maybe you've been married for a long time and you're just like, why is it that certain things we just don't see eye to eye on? There's a good chance, in my opinion, you'll never see eye to eye on certain things.
Yep.
But that's okay. You're a
everybody's different. Yeah. We're not the same people. Just because you're married does not mean that you're going to have the exact same opinion on every single thing.
Yeah. And that's okay. I think that there's certain things that we all have to be able to connect on though. I think, you know, and this might be completely outside of what people will tell you, but I do think that there's a couple of things, and I would love to see if you would have anything to take away or add to this. But, you know, maybe you're in the honeymoon phase. You're not in the honeymoon. You're in the dating phase, you know, the honeymoon phase, but the dating phase before you get married. Like, I do think that you need to have a shared vision of what religion or spirituality
100%.
Is. Like, I do think that that's something that can really, really hurt relationships. If one person's a super solid atheist that thinks all Christians are dumb and somebody else is a very devout Christian,
that's probably not going
to
work.
It's probably not. So I think you have to have some way to be able to connect on your faith. I also think you have to have some way to be able to connect on your intimacy. Mm-hmm. Like a sexless marriage is a doomed marriage, in my opinion. And so that might be 3 times a day for one person and 3 times a year for the other. Somehow you guys are going to have to meet on that. So I think that if you have your spirituality down, because really that is your North Star in your marriage.
Yep.
That's what everything.
Well, it's like you started at the very beginning. That's your instruction manual, whatever religion that is. Yep. You have an instruction manual there.
But I mean, it's your instruction manual. It's your North Star. It's something to always pursue, always be able to connect with around spirituality. If you have your intimacy down. And then lastly, I believe if you have communication down, because you're going to have arguments, you're going to have fights, you're going to see the world differently.
Yep.
But if you're able to communicate through those things and you don't just completely shut down, then I think everything else after that, I know people talk about money and money being a huge reason for a divorce. I really don't believe that that's true if those other three things are on point.
I think yes and no. The only thing I was going to add to that is having some sort of a mutual agreement on finances, in the sense of, are you both huge risk takers and you're going to, you know, super investing in tons, and I guess I'm thinking two opposites, right? If you had like the super entrepreneur investing risk person, they're going to spend their last dollar, to somebody who's like super, I want, you know, 50 grand in the bank and I'm never going to do anything above my like very safe, like 401k, and I will always have a job. And like,
but see, I would push back though, because I feel like we started that way.
I think we did in a sense, but I guess what I'm saying is like having those conversations, I think, is also fair, because you and I had to get to where it was like, okay, what am I comfortable with? As yes, I am more of the like stable, I want a savings account, all of that, and you're more of the risk taker, but we could agree on what that looked like in the middle. That's what I'm saying, is like, what is like agreeing on, okay, we know our personalities, you know, you're a whatever, I'm a whatever, like, what are we going to be comfortable with together to move forward? If you can't agree on that, you're going to have problems.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that, but to me, so much of that just comes back to communication.
Maybe it does. Yeah. So maybe
because if you can communicate, because I feel like you and I are on polar opposite spectrums. Like you grew up super stable job, house, like just go get a job, get your retirement, you know,
absolutely
nothing crazy. I grew up, you know, more like, especially with my dad in the ranch. And I think I look at that more entrepreneurial, but I think just overall, I have a higher risk.
Yeah, you do.
You know, tolerance, I guess. Like I'm like, you know, I'm the one that when we go to Vegas, she's like standing behind me, covering her eyes.
That's awful.
I'm like,
And I just don't watch. I leave. I go away. Like, he goes and does whatever he wants to do. I can't even watch because I will be pissed by the time we're there.
But you also woke up with like $3,000.
I did. And that, because I take all your money as you win. As he wins, he gives me the $500 chips. And I just, then by the end of the night, I'm like, I don't know how many you have. And because he tries to get them back.
Because I would have given them back.
And I'm like, no, I don't have any more. And he doesn't know because he might have had a few cocktails in that.
It was my birthday.
Anytime. But I know how to make my personality work. And I just keep shoving them in the purse. And you can go play with whatever money you have.
All right. So the moral of the story is, men, is this is how we're manipulated.
Yes.
Yes. This is what they do to us.
Oh, no. Awesome. I say it as the final piece is like, well, I think what this all comes down to is making your relationship a priority, like consciously, intentionally making a priority and making time, one-on-one time with your spouse. And maybe that's even like, that's going to look so different for every single person. But, and it's hard, right? There's times where even the little girls, they're big enough where sometimes they'll be up early and they're like, we want to go with you to get coffee. And I think there's like one or two times we've taken them with, cause it is kind of fun. Like, they think it's special that they get to go with us to go get coffee. But it's also like, it's kind of turned into our, like, no, this is like our time. Like, nobody goes with, like, this is me and dad are just going, just us.
Well, and I think that just to kind of, to put it all, you know, like to wrap it up, which is, if you think that that there's something, like, one thing I would advise you, and this is going back from experience. I remember one of the most unhappy times, I feel like, when I was married, or since we've been married. Since we've been married was when we were actually first bought our place in Meridian. Mm-hmm. And like, it was just like, I thought our marriage was crap at that point, to be honest. And so much of that was because of what I was going through.
Yep.
And so like, if you feel like your marriage is crap right now, before you think it's just all the other person, and it might be, right? Like, maybe you married definitely a crazy person. Mm-hmm. Like, it was funny. We were at a dinner the other night with some good friends of ours, and the topic of marriage came up. And I was like, hey, Riley, what is the thing that dad always tells you is the most important decision of your life? And like, he's like, what? And I was like, what do I always tell you will be the most important decision of your life? And he's like, oh, who you marry. And everyone around was like looking, and my friend T after that was like, dude, that's impressive that at that age, like, he already knows that. And I'm like, it's because I've been drilling it into his head because I believe that to be true. Now, going back to when, like, I felt like our marriage was the worst that it's ever been, it was because of what I was going through, right? Like, I didn't feel good about where I was at in my career with the amount of money I was making or any of that. So if you're in a marriage right now and you're listening to this and you're like, yeah, but my marriage sucks. My wife is a freaking monster. You know, my husband's whatever. Like, first do the evaluation of yourself.
Yep.
Like, is your marriage a reflection of where you're at right now? Because my belief is that, like, the vast majority of divorces come from people blaming other people for something that they're actually going through. And that if they were able to make themselves the best version of themselves, their marriage would instantly get better right away.
Absolutely.
But because they're not the best version, they take it out on their spouse. Their spouse starts resenting them. They resent each other. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that just sparked because you're not in the position to where you're being the best version of yourself. So I would like to leave you with that, because I want you all to stay married. I want you all to have a bunch of kids and to have productive lives. Because when you do that, I do believe we are much happier.
Absolutely.
Any final words?
No, final thing I would just say is share the show. Make sure, like, that if you're getting value of this at all, make sure you share it out there. Like I said, there's, you know, a lot of podcasts, and whether it's Instagrams or all the different things that sometimes don't hit the algorithm because of what is discussed. So by you guys sharing things, you know, share it as you want. That's how people hear about it. That's how it grows.
It's been awesome. Like, we've, you know, with this podcast, it's in the top 1.5% in the world of podcasts. There's literally millions and millions and millions. So that's awesome. But I'm competitive. Like, I want to get to like at least the top 0.5%, right? Like, a friend of mine was saying how he had a top 0.5% podcast in the world. I'm like, okay, that's game a challenge. Game on. So got to get there. And the way that we get there is from you guys sharing the show.
Yep.
If you gain any value from it, if it was entertaining, whatever, then chances are somebody else will feel the same way,
exactly.
Which means it's your obligation to go ahead and share it. And also, if there's any of you women out there who are like the cat, don't be the cat. All right. Don't be the cat.
I'm not a cat.
You're the stuck up cat. Like, there's some cats that are like, that, you know, you're the cat that like walks around. It's like, yeah, you can see, but you can't pet. Right. Oh. All right. That's a good one to end on
there.
What? Nothing. What? It's true. All right, everybody, share the show. We'll talk to y'all soon.
See ya.
I absolutely love having you as a listener of the Primal King podcast. If you don't want to miss out on the great content, then it's time to hit that subscribe button right now. Do not be left behind. And then share your thoughts and feedback with a written review of the show. I read every single one of these, and it helps me make sure I am serving you best. It also allows others to find this content, and it builds this community. Make it an awesome day, and we'll see you next time.